All right, let's just check in with this Japanese data which has been released, and these numbers are not pleasant reading for people who watch the economy there. Industrial production plummeting in May. We were looking at month-on-month figures here for industrial production to have contracted by 0.3%. In fact, we got a 7.2% drop here. Industrial production year-on-year expected to be up 4.2%. No, down 2.8%. These are horrible numbers, and indeed this will leave the economy ministry of the Bank of Japan really scratching its head. Okay, well, let's move to what Fed Chair Jay Powell has been saying. Indeed, been on a panel with ECB President Christine Lagarde and the Bank of England Governor Andrew Bailey, and joining us now to discuss the latest commentary there. Let's have a look at what Steve Matthews, Bloomberg Economics reporter, made of the ECB's annual policy forum. Steve, what would you make of the answers that, for some, didn't really move the dial?
Well, in a way, it didn't move the dial, because this is the third week in a row that Fed Chair Powell has spoken publicly at some length. I mean, today's session was a 90-minute program, and he had spoken to Congress last week, and the week before that, he did an hour-long press conference right after the FOMC meeting. But, you know, the message is the same. He's singing from the same songbook, which is inflation is high. We're going to do whatever we can to get it down. And if it causes pain for the economy, we're okay with that. He was asked by the moderator today about Paul Krugman, the Nobel-winning economist, New York Times columnist, comments that the biggest risk with the economy is that the Fed is going to overdo it and over-tighten and send us into a recession, and that would be, you know, a particular disaster for the U.S. And his response to that was, no, that's not the biggest risk. The biggest risk is we don't get the inflation down, and we have to do more later. And it became clear to everyone that, you know, the Fed is willing to take a recession, hopefully a mild one, if it comes to that. That's not their base case. They're still hoping for a soft landing, but they're willing to take a recession if that's necessary to get inflation down. And you had, for example, Neil Dutta of Renaissance today cutting his estimates, and he'd been like a long-term bull on the U.S. economy, and kind of threw in the towel today and said, hey, I think things are going to get worse. So he's gradually turning the dial, turning the screw, and people are getting the message that growth is going to slow, and you know exactly how far still remains to be seen. But they're very, very determined to get inflation down.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up Neil Dutta's point, Steve, because he essentially said the Fed is basically judging a policy mistake resulting in a recession as being preferable to the alternative, which is obviously, as you just pointed out, allowing inflation to continue to drift higher. What do we know about what the Fed would tolerate in terms of an unemployment rate before it really became concerned? Larry Summers was saying that really we're going to see something north of maybe 5% before inflation begins to soften a bit.
Yeah, that's a really interesting question. And Powell hasn't been pinned down well on that. And it was interesting, Madame Lagarde of the ECB said, when she was asked about monetary policy, she said, you know, there's really more art than science to policy sometimes. And that kind of reflected the whole panel that they prefer to have some discretion. They are not wanting to be bound by some rule that is like if inflation gets up to a certain point, they take some action. If unemployment goes to a certain point, they take some action. They're kind of playing it as they see it. And therefore, you get some things that are surprising, like this last meeting where they went to 75 basis points suddenly in a couple of days before the meeting, after the University of Michigan came out with bad inflation expectations numbers, which were later revised. So, but they're definitely kind of reacting to the data in real time, and exactly how they react to every bit of data is not at all clear.
You know, Jean-Paul Kaufmann said, Steve, years ago, the economy depends about as much on economists as the weather does on weather forecasts. Now, weather forecasters, I should say. Tell me something. One of the questions that they haven't really been answering that often, or it's not been asked very often, is the impact of quantitative tightening. I know I keep on banging on about this, but you know, there's very little noise coming out of the Fed about it.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, Powell has thrown out some estimates that, you know, maybe the QT that they're doing is going to be the equivalent of several quarter-point rate hikes, but that there's a huge, you know, interval around that up or down, and there's a lot of uncertainty. And, you know, there are various kind of competing academic papers saying that it's really important or really not that important. And this is such a new phenomenon. It really just started after 2008, after the financial crisis, when rates went to zero and they had to do something to try to stimulate the economy, and cutting rates would not work anymore. They didn't want to cut below zero. So they did quantitative easing, and then that resulted in tightening. And this is still not a well-understood topic. I mean, they think it works, but exactly how much and how and why is not 100% clear.
Mm, most definitely. We heard today from the head of the Cleveland Fed, Loretta Mester, saying the Fed must not be complacent. We've got that next meeting on July 27th. Steve, thanks for being with us. Steve Matthews, Bloomberg's economics reporter, joining us from Atlanta here on Daybreak Asia.